your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially 36 days away from NFL kickoff, so that is super freaking exciting. I feel like it really snuck up on us here. Like, that's literally a month and a few days away, so that's crazy. And we have an NFL game tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game, so that's super exciting. But we are so excited to be here with you guys tonight. We have a lot to talk about around the NFL, Chiefs training camp, injuries, players that are back, NFL Top 100, all kinds of things. So we're so excited to be here with you guys. I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all. What's up? I am Jody. And it's so funny because today I have on like Royals blue. Literally, I have on Royals because if you're in Kansas City, they are rolling. And Bobby Witt Jr. is hot. So I just decided to leave on Royals gear and not even put on Chiefs gear today, even though.
Well, we got boys. Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes. So
I mean, we are so blessed as a city.
Like, we really are.
So blessed as a city to be able to have Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr. in the same city. And their stadiums are literally 500 steps apart from each other. Like,
that's, yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Blessed around here, and I can't lie, yeah. I'm a little bit distracted. You know, me and Lexi, we shot our shot at Mina Kimes, and I was listening to, I don't know if you listen to her podcast, but she has a great podcast. And I was listening to it today because she broke down the AFC West, which, you know, you always want to hear about the AFC West. And I got halfway through it and I was like, oh, this is really good. Like, when I ended it, she was starting to talk about like Max Crosby and all of this stuff. Anyway, I quote tweeted that it was like a really great conversation. And if you're a fan of the AFC West, you should probably like just tap into it. It's only like, I think, an hour and 10 minutes long, whatever. And she replied to me and said, thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm like talking to Lexi, which is why we probably started 15 minutes late. I was like, I need to reply. Help me shoot my shot.
So we're trying. So this is our official campaign to get Mina Kimes on the show.
Kingdoms Queens. We want to get her on here.
Mina, we're gonna clip this and tag you in it later.
I know, right? Right. We love you. We just want to make that very loud and clear. We love you.
Mac. Here before Mina.
Oh my God. never. But no, like Lexi said, we got a lot to talk about today. So let's just kind of jump into it. So around the NFL, this is a segment that we had all last offseason, and it's time to bring it back. Like, we're in it now. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of guys who've been paid so far. So let's talk about some of these quarterbacks who got some really big bags over the last few weeks. So I mean, we can start wherever. Tua got paid, Jordan Love got paid, Trevor Lawrence got paid. Like, so I just want to say all of these quarterbacks got paid and none of them have a Super Bowl. That's all I want to say.
I know.
That's all I want to say.
I just, well, okay. So it's a little unfair because Patrick Mahomes has won like every Super Bowl since Tom Brady retired. So it's,
well, and I will say, but I think it's important to remember though, like the way Patrick's contract is structured is so it can be restructured every single year so he can get that big bonus payout. So like right yeah. now they did that restructure at the beginning of this year. So the bulk of his money that he deserves, he'll get at the front half. So I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was definitely a very big number that Patrick got paid. So what are your thoughts just real quick about Tua, Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence, all AFC quarterbacks? Sorry, Jordan Love's in the NFC.
Well, and Jared Goff, too.
Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about him.
So, yeah. But,
I totally forgot about him.
I think what's crazy is when Patrick Mahomes initially got paid after his first Super Bowl, because how the heck are you not going to pay him after winning a Super Bowl for your franchise that hasn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years, right? So,
yeah.
He deserved every bit of that payday. It was like 10 years, $500 million, $490 million, something like that.
Insane.
And it broke the market, but rightfully so, because he won a Super Bowl. So you Correct. Are going to pay that guy. And there was clearly something special about him mm-hmm. from the get-go. And I think what I've come to realize in the last few years of the NFL, well, honestly, throughout the NFL, but especially in the last few years, I think, is that good quarterbacks are really hard to come by, and they are being paid yeah. that way. Yeah. So they're being paid in the way of like, okay, so we have, let's start with Trevor Lawrence. I think he was the first one to get paid, either Jared Goff or Trevor Lawrence, one of them.
Yeah.
One of the two of them were. Trevor Lawrence has been good. He had a rough start with Urban Meyer as his head coach in his first yeah. year. And that was just a crap show.
Yeah, that was actually kind of hilarious.
That was horrible.
It was mildly hilarious, actually.
Honestly, yeah. It was like, how is it this bad?
Yeah.
It was so bad. And then his next season,
he had a good season.
Doug Peterson came in and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I really like Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
And took him to the play. Was that the next season he took him to the play?
Yeah, that was the next season.
Yeah. So, and then beat the Chargers in the wild card round, came to Kansas City, lost in the divisional. Patrick Mahomes did get injured in that game. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
One. The next season, Trevor Lawrence kind of had a downfall, but I think
they started off hot. They started off hot.
I think it's largely due to injury, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and so here's my thing, right? Like, I definitely think like the quarterback deserves to be paid. Like, they are the captain of the field, right?
Yeah.
So they definitely deserve the bank. They deserve the bread. I get it. I do not get every single quarterback wanting to be the highest paid. So, like, I don't understand Trevor Lawrence wanting to be the highest paid. I don't understand Jordan Love wanting to be the highest paid over Matt Stafford. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things I don't understand. Like, you have not proven yourself long enough to be the highest paid quarterback no. for this year. Now, that does not mean that you don't deserve a great payday. You can get paid. You can be the third highest paid. You can be the fourth highest paid. And that is still a lot of income. That is a lot of money. But when you have quarterbacks like these four who went out here and got this huge payday, then you have people like Dak Prescott, who's trying to get a contract, who actually has more division wins and more playoff. Well, I ain't going to say that. But he has more division wins than these other quarterbacks. And the thing is the Cowboys get so much slander. So it's like, well, no, they're not going to pay Dak, blah, blah, blah. But Dak definitely, if you look at his numbers, he deserves to be one of the highest paid. He's one of the best throwing quarterbacks. He has a lot of touchdowns. He has all of these stats that put him in a category to where he should get the bread, the money. And some of these other quarterbacks have not delivered to that level yet to where they should get paid at that level. So
well,
that's my hot take about yeah. it. I do think they should get paid, but I do not think everybody deserves to be the highest paid.
And I think like Dak Prescott has consistently led his team to the playoffs where you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa that, I mean, okay, Tua is a completely different case than Trevor Lawrence, where he he has had his issues throughout the years, right? Like it first, hi DG. Like it first, his first few years were rough, and then the season before, he had all these injuries that were plaguing him, and then last season he really had a case for almost being MVP.
Yeah.
And he did really well this past season. But when it came to high pressure situations, we didn't really see that from him. It wasn't the execution you'd want to see at a high level.
And he definitely he had the receivers around. He had the team around him to be great. So it'd be different if you're more like maybe a Jordan Love and you don't have as many weapons as somebody like a Joe Burrow or a Trevor Lawrence does, right? So, like, I can also understand it from that aspect, too. Like, Jordan Love had to be a really good player for them to be at where they were because of the weapons that they had. Of course, we figured out that – what's his name? Christian on the Packers – who all of a sudden was catching 2 touchdowns game every game for like the last.
I can't think of his last name right now, but I know who you're talking about.
Right. So he became this star player for the Packers and it was fantastic. But, you know, all these other teams have multiple weapons where they have no reason to not be able to have the, thank you, Watson, to where they did not have the reason to not be able to be great in elite. So that's my spiel on that.
How did we not think of the last name Watson? There's so many Watsons.
So many Watsons, right? Let's kind of get into some of the receivers that are sitting out. There are so many receivers that are either at training camp and not participating. Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk. And I know Trent Williams is not a receiver, but you can also add him, right? And then you have CeeDee Lamb, who is still in Texas. He didn't even make the trip to California, right?
No.
So what is your – and I love this. I want to say this is the type of chaos that I love.
We love.
You have these amazing, great, game-changing players that are like, absolutely not. No. Not coming. Not helping. Not participating. I'm going to just stand on the sideline and put on my little sunscreen and wear my little hat and watch y'all. What are your thoughts about – Brandon Ayuk, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Trent Williams, all of these guys who deserve the payday, who just haven't been paid yet. And what week are we in training camp now? We're ending week two.
Week two.
Training camp.
However, right? Chiefs were one of the few teams to start early. So we're like a little bit ahead of the other teams. Like, I think
only like a day or so behind.
They're like a few days behind. Chiefs are probably like 3 or 4 days ahead in pads. Everyone else is kind of a few days behind, right?
Well, I can't help but those teams aren't putting shells on yet.
If I saw the Chiefs were doing that, then I would be like.
And the Texans started. The Texans were first. It's like, come on now. Especially if you're an AFC team. It's like, get it together. Anyway.
Yeah, get it together. But that's beside the point. So what I think about the wide receivers sitting out, I think it makes sense. I think every team has dealt with this in some capacity or another throughout the years. We dealt with it with Chris Jones last season. I think it happens. People know they're deserving of a paycheck and they don't want to risk getting hurt in training camp, which is super real because as we saw in the Chiefs today, it was a brutal
day.
We're
not getting there yet. But yeah. But
I'm just saying, but it makes sense. I understand why.
Well, and Jamar Chase is coming off an injury from last season. He was beat up last year.
Well, and he, I don't know.
He was beat up last year.
Jamar should sit out until week three. He's going to play the Chiefs. Bet you that. Come on.
Without a check. He'll be like, no. You know what? You're right. I'm going to come back
and
play
the Chiefs.
And then I'm going to just go back on my hiatus and not do it.
He couldn't even. Yeah. Anyway. But
if you had to think about these three receivers, CD, Brandon Ayuk, Jamar Chase. So it's clearly they're waiting to see who gets paid first.
The value to their teams, too. Like they all bring different value to their teams.
Absolutely. So they're all waiting to see the other person get paid, right? No one wants to get paid first and then the next guy comes and gets paid more, right?
So
out of those three, who do you think will be the highest? Who's 1, 2, and 3? 1 being the highest, 3 being the lowest paid out of those three receivers.
I think CD should. CD and Jamar are really close for me.
I think CD won.
You think CD's won? I kind of do too.
Yeah,
I kind of do too. CD and Jamar are really close. I slightly put CD over him. Then Jamar, then Brandon. Brandon's tough because the Niners have, well, the Bengals do too, but the Niners have so many weapons.
Many weapons all over. And he's not even the one on that team.
Yeah.
He's not the one there. Well, and CD and you Jamar are the one.
You could easily go between him and Debo to be the one, right?
And, whereas, I'm going to pay Debo over Brandon Ayuk.
And then for the Bengals, you have Jamar Chase, but then you have T. Higgins, who also is not going to get paid, but he is really elite.
Oh, he's leaving after this season.
Right, but he's really – but I'm saying, like, he's elite to what he brings to the team, whereas on the Cowboys, CeeDee stands out over everyone else by a mile.
And there's no
– So you have the Bengals –
There's no one else there now.
No, you have the Bengals and the Niners who are – I understand why they're fighting for their paydays – but you also have receivers that are right up there with you that are really, really good. On the Cowboys, you have CD that's really good, but you don't have guys right there that are elite right with him.
Absolutely.
So and I think CD deserves the payday the most. I think everyone deserves their payday, but
agreed.
I think CD was like the top of that for me.
I think he was a more impact player on the Cowboys than and CD wasn't hurt last season. Jamar Chase missed games last year. So if I'm going based off of just last
year.
And the year
before, I think.
So if I'm just going based off of last year's performance, then I'm definitely going to rank CD at one. I just think, like, CD is just such a difference maker on that team. And, I mean, Jamar Chase is amazing. Like, he is a great freaking receiver. There's no way you could take that away from him. But if I'm going to go ahead and put CD at that one. And then, and then Chase, and then Jamar. So what do you think about Trent Williams holding out?
I didn't expect it, but I also, there's so much to pay attention to in the NFL that, like, maybe I just kind of missed that he wasn't fully getting the payday he deserved this season.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't, like, a ton of tackles that got paid this offseason. It wasn't like a huge offseason for that. It was quarterbacks that got paid this offseason, right? It wasn't like a lot of other positions. A little bit with defensive tackles being Chris Jones and then Quinnen Williams, the Jets, yada, yada. Correct. But like,
and Quinnen Williams
with left tackle or with just tackles in general, it wasn't like a huge offseason for them. So I didn't really know that Trent Williams was like set to hold out, but it makes sense for his situation. I mean, he is arguably top.
Feel one, free to come
one,
to Kansas
two.
City.
Yeah.
Feel free to come here. We have no money.
We wanted him here and he chose the Niners. So.
Oh, I remember. I'm like, I know that we have $7.
But we could really get a ring.
We could really use your help right now.
Yeah. And also I want to say, I wanted to mention too, just with the wide receivers, DJ Moore got paid on the Bears.
Yep.
And he got paid. He got paid a 4-year, $110 million extension.
A lot of money.
$82 million guaranteed.
So, did you see his picture with the helmet on signing his contract?
Yes, I loved that. I absolutely loved that. Did you not like it?
I was like, okay, DJ.
It's extra, but I kind of loved it.
I was like, okay, DJ, I get it. You're committed. Like,
you're very
cool.
Committed.
Like,
he
definitely deserved the payday, though, because DJ Moore is so freaking good. He's so freaking good, and he definitely deserved it. And I can't wait to see what Caleb Williams is going to do with his weapon, because he is going to be able to go out there and now they're not going to win that division. Like, I'm not saying they should be miles better than what they were last season, just based off of a lot of things that they've done this offseason. So let's gossip quickly about the Jets.
Ooh.
What is happening with them?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Is that the song they sing?
Oh, yeah.
I know that. No, so the Jets, I only have like 2 minutes to talk about the Jets. That's all I'm willing to give Aaron Rodgers and them. But it sounds like every day there's some type of drama coming out of their camp. And I don't understand why. Like, okay, I do understand why, because Aaron Rodgers is there. But I genuinely don't understand why they're having so many, like, disconnects. Like, there was something that was said today about how Aaron Rodgers hasn't even had the conversation yet on if he's going to play any snaps in preseason, and he might play some snaps in, like, the third game. And it's just kind of like, dude, you were barely there. You weren't there for any of the mini camp. You have you didn't play with this team at all last season. You should be wanting to get in as many reps as possible with these dudes on your team.
Yeah.
Because the NFL is expecting you to come out here and win the Super Bowl.
Win a Super Bowl.
So I don't understand why there's, like, so much drama and there's this huge disconnect on whatever is happening in New York, New Jersey.
Yeah. I think the Jets are hilarious. I think, like,
very unserious team.
I don't even know how to describe them. To me, and this, sorry if any Jets fans are watching, but
for me,
the Jets are, their players are, at least the star players, I feel like they are convinced that they would have won a Super Bowl already if they had an elite quarterback. I feel like that's the way they act. And the way that I'm seeing Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers act
camp
is like, Garrett Wilson is like sassing Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, you want to sass me? You, like, 3-year player at this point when I've played 20 years. I've played 20 years and you want to sass me? Like, I feel like that's, like, the attitude I'm getting. And I feel like players like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams and some of their DBs and some of, like, a lot of their defense, I feel like they're all convinced that if they didn't have Zach Wilson for 3 years that they would be in a Super Bowl already.
Yeah.
And so I think they're, like, really rely, I mean, we know they're really relying on Aaron Rodgers to bring them to the promised land, right? That's the whole thing. And I don't know. I think they're a funny team. I think they do have a ton of talent on that team, but, like, it's the Jets, you know? So it's like, it's, I don't know. I do not
this
know.
This comment is hilarious.
Yeah. Real football wives of New York, honestly.
Literally. That's exactly what they are. I want to take this moment to say Mecole Hardman is amazing.
Can you?
Right?
That's like a fever dream that he was even on there.
Well, and I say that for this one reason solely. He went there, right? And he said, like, he knew what his job was. It was to bring a championship mentality. And he said, you didn't feel that when you walked in the door there. And you feel that immediately when you walk in to a Chiefs anything. Just walking in the door to say hello, right? And so I think that speaks volumes about, like, it's hard for me to think about the other 31 teams in the NFL and what their culture is like, because the culture that we've been around for so long at this point now is winning in championships. And it's just kind of like,
we don't know anything else.
It's normalcy, right? And we were there for the losing years, but now it's just like, yeah, like, we're going to win and we're going to do this.
We're in a different era of football, of Chiefs football.
Bless the Lord.
Thank God.
And so when you look at other teams and, you know, you see our players, our old players leave and go to other teams and kind of see, like, what that transition and, like, how different it is. Hearing Mecole Hardman's story when he came back to Kansas City about what it was like in New Jersey, it was just, like, very eye-opening to me. So, and we watched them last season on Hard Knocks, right? I'm sure it's still very similar to that this year, right? Like, they had celebrity, and I mean, I think all practices, they have celebrities come out and support them, right? It's fine. It's normal, right? You expect that. But I feel like it was more of just, like, literally a show versus people actually going out there and inspiring and motivating, or old players trying to, you know, coach this current team up to get them ready to go. So New York is very interesting. I still think they're going to be a terrible team. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said they're unserious. I like this question, though. On paper, who would you take, Texans or Jets? On paper.
I'm going with coaching, so I'm taking the Texans.
I think I would take the Texans too.
I think D'Amico is.
I love D'Amico.
To be a 1-year coach
Yeah. And transform that team like he did. Oh,
when he
my
came
God.
From the Niners. And so he understands what winning is like, right? And he also played. So, and he's just very relatable as a coach too. Like, even if I didn't look at any players, I'm taking coaching all day. And so I would take them in the Texans.
I like Robert Saleh, but I think.
I don't.
I think he's a little bit the same thing as the players. Is where it's he leans into that mentality of, oh, if we had a functional quarterback, we'd be fine. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy and he's a very functional, high-level quarterback that he typically is, then sure. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's get into some rumors. Time to talk a little Chiefs. Ready to talk Chiefs.
Yeah.
Rumors. So, you know, we are very factorial people on this podcast.
We try our best to be.
So all you're going to get from us is the facts.
The facts.
But there's a rumor that Creed Humphrey and possibly Harrison Butker may see extensions here pretty soon. Now, I'm going to be honest. They both deserve money. Harrison Butker, best kicker in the league. I don't care what y'all say. He deserves to be the highest paid kicker. And Creed Humphrey, I understand last season wasn't his best season, but I've seen his body of work over his career, which is more than enough for me to say that he needs to be paid. What are your thoughts about these two?
Even with the low snaps last season that Creed had, and that was like his biggest issue.
Was he playing with an injury or not?
No.
We don't know. They never said.
Yeah. Not that we're aware of. I think the biggest issue was his low snaps. Otherwise, he was fine. He's still incredibly elite. I think he allowed one or two sacks total out of, like, what, 1,000 plus, 1,200 plus snaps? Like, that's insane.
I'm not mad at that.
He's going against the best of the best. Every single game. And honestly, I feel that way about our entire interior O-line, is that they do an incredible job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would love to keep them as a trio.
How do we pay everybody?
I know. I don't even want to get into that, but
$7. We got to sprint.
I love $7. But
we got to split $7 between 15 people somehow.
And I think that's like amongst Chiefs Kingdom, it's like pay Creed, maybe pay Trey if you're lucky. And then Nick Bolton's coming up as well. And I don't even want to get into all that.
And we love Nick Bolton, but I'm going to ask the question probably around like week 5 or 6. So I'm going to hold it on if he stays healthy.
Yeah, we got to wait for that
one.
We got to wait for it.
Because we know how great Nick Bolton is.
Especially after today. Yeah.
Right. And what last season was, even though I know what he can do in a cast.
Yeah.
remarkable
things, right? Do I think Creed deserves to get paid? Absolutely. Do I think Butker? Absolutely. I mean, I know there's indifferences on some of his personal life. You guys got to put aside his personal life. He is, aside from Justin Tucker, and honestly, for my team, I want Harrison Butker. He is so elite.
And last season, Harrison Butker was better than Justin
Tucker. He's why we won so many games and in the playoffs last year.
Like, and he had one bad year 2 seasons ago.
But that's because he was injured.
Exactly. So, and he's automatic 90% of the time. So
last season, I didn't worry about him at all. I was like, oh, Butker got it automatically.
Now, I did week one.
Week one, sure. But like week five on, no. We're like.
Yeah, okay. No. Week one, okay. I was traumatized. Can't even hold you. But yeah, no, I agree. I think they both deserve to be paid. So
this person's asking what Matt Araiza's holding was like. We watched it in camp and they looked good.
They looked pretty good.
They were automatic. Really, Harrison hit from like 65 yards in camp, I want to say.
Well, and it's so cool because the one thing that I have noticed about Matt is he is also putting in like those extra reps too. So practice ends and he's still out there. So he's still out there, whether it's doing things to condition his body or just whatever it is. He's definitely putting in the work.
Yeah.
Because he understands what this team is and what this expectation is. And I'm seeing that from him. So that makes me very excited to see what his season is going to be like. So I'm all on board at this point.
Same. And of course, we love Tommy Townsend.
Tommy.
Hate to see him go to the Texans, man.
That hurts. Oh, I miss Tommy. But I miss Tommy a lot. But I think we're going to be
Texans,
just fine.
You guys got a good, great guy.
Yeah,
in that.
You're
but,
welcome.
I don't think maybe that's a hot take. I don't know. But I don't think we're going to miss much of a beat with Matt Araiza.
No, I don't think we are either. So yeah, I think we're going to be just fine.
But yeah, he looked just fine in holding and just fine in practice. So
absolutely. And he's putting in the extra work. So and that 100 degree heat. Because listen,
not to mention
I don't want to be out there in 80 degree heat.
It's awful.
So as you all have seen over the last week and a half, there is an NFL top 100 that is out. And I believe after today, we are at number 11, which means we should get 10 through 1 tomorrow.
Now, and so far, there's been no Chiefs.
If you've paid attention, there are no Chiefs players so far. Alexi said something earlier, and this may be my fault too. I haven't really dove into the top 100 list. I've been busy, and I ain't seen no Chiefs players. So I'm like, whatever.
Well,
but go ahead.
I was just going to agree with, I just search for the Chiefs names, and if I haven't seen any, I don't look into it. And I haven't seen any.
I watched 80 through 100 and saw Aaron Rodgers. So then I was like, oh, this list is very unserious. So at that moment, I was like, I don't think I care anymore. So to see him on there after playing 90 seconds of football all last season, I need people to remember that this is based off of the year prior and not their career. Like,
yeah,
read the rules, understand the books. Last season, not the whole season, but not your whole career. I apologize. But yeah, zero Chiefs players yet. But the rumor, again, we are a very factorial podcast. The rumor is that there's 6 Niners players on there. 6?
Yeah. And there was supposed to be 5 Chiefs. And I cannot find the original post on X, Twitter, that it was from a reliable account that said there was going to be 5 Chiefs on the top 100 list. We're at the top 10, y'all, and there's not been one Chief player listed yet.
You know, and that's okay. Okay, so maybe let's talk about this for a second. Let's say this list comes out tomorrow. There's only 3 Chiefs players, right? Okay, right. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. Cool. And I believe L'Jarius Sneed is not on there yet. And I know that he is now a Titan, but he was the best corner in football last season, right? So he's not on there yet either. So when you think about this list of people, what Chiefs players will be snubbed? Because I'm thinking it's only going to be 3. And we know who the big 3 are.
We know the big 3. We know that Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes are going to be in the top 10.
Absolutely.
How that falls, I don't know exactly. But Patrick Mahomes will be number 1.
Better
I think that's pretty much a given. If he's not, then throw the whole list away.
Correct. Well, and I will say, let's remember last season, we were rough. We were not that great, right?
We were
the first half of the season. But listen, the second half of the season, they turned it on.
Can I add to that and say, this is a random thing from today, but there's a lot of reports saying that MVS might not even make the Bills team at this point. And he's a wide receiver on the Bills right now. There's many reports coming out today that he might not even make the team. And
why?
I just want to say that Patrick Mahomes won with him in clutch time multiple times last season. So if you don't have him as the best player in the NFL, I don't know what to tell you.
It's giving. We're just bringing you in and we need you to tell us everything.
Like,
and then you
will.
Yeah. That's what it's giving.
But I
think that would be a very bad mistake on them tonight.
I think it speaks to the level of talent that Patrick Mahomes has and that.
Correct.
The group he won with last season probably shouldn't have won a Super Bowl, and they did. And I don't think any other quarterback would have won with that group.
No.
Yes, we had an extremely elite defense, and that was a big help.
Mm.
But the offense that we had, aside from, like, Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco, no one else is winning with that group we have.
Isaiah Pacheco not being on this list kind of anywhere in the top 100, even if he was 85. He could
have been 99, yeah.
Him not being on that list kind of blows my mind. Creed Humphrey not being on there, what the heck? Trey Smith not being on there,
Joe Tooney.
Confused, don't understand. Joe Tooney, confused. Trent McDuffie, don't understand what's happening here.
No, Trenton Snead.
George Karloftis had 10 sacks last year.
Yeah.
Don't understand why he's not on there. So there's definitely.
And you have guys like Jalen Ramsey on there who are strictly on there for their name. And Bobby Wagner. Why is
Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he was out mid-7. I mean, Kirk Cousins was doing really well before he got injured, but like.
Correct. But then he got injured and missed the whole back half of the year. Justin Jefferson, I fully understand. He still had a 1,000-yard season.
Even though
he missed so many games.
Yeah.
Totally get it.
No, yes, he's elite.
He should be on that list.
I don't know, man. I do not know how you leave L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie off this list. I don't know. They are the best tandem cornerback duo in the league last season.
Absolutely.
How do you 100%. Leave them off?
You don't. And so I do want to also say, I think this list is made like what, in November or December? So here's a few things about
it. It's made like December, yeah. But it's even then.
It's people's choice. Yeah, because by player's December, choice. We had turned it around.
Yeah.
People, player, same, right? And the NFL gives them a whole list of people, and then they say, rank these people. So that also makes me think, like, so are y'all even watching football? Because by December, L'Jarius Sneed had held every receiver to zero touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't understand how, hey, here's a list of, let's say, 140 people. We need you to pick your top 100. And they probably didn't even do that. They probably were just like, hey, here's a list for. I don't see one football player sitting down and writing out 100 names. I don't see that. That's not happening.
Right.
I feel like they probably divvied it up and was like,
I think they do their like top 20. Because the NFL will post like the players' top 20 lists and you'll see like 20 players listed. So I feel like that's what they do. And then the rest is made up.
Because if you also watch, I feel like if you also watch some of the people who they have talking about people in the back half of the, like in the earlier numbers, sorry, in the later numbers, a lot of those people aren't talking about the newer numbers.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's your strategic goal here, NFL?
Right.
Please help me make it make sense. And are you holding out Chiefs players because y'all are sick of us? Which I fully get. But that doesn't mean you take away their credit from how good of a season that they had. That's almost as bad as L'Jarius Sneed not being an all-pro. Like, I don't understand how much disrespect he can get from
that. I don't get it. If I were him, I'd have, like, the biggest chip on my shoulder.
Well, that's why he was like, forget it.
He does, yeah.
That's why he's like, forget it. Clearly, my hard work in this game means
nothing.
Doesn't
even matter.
I'm going to go get a payday because my bank account will make me feel better. So I fully understand his logic there.
Yeah.
Because anyway, can't wait to see the top 100 tomorrow. We will definitely be tweeting all about 1 through 10 on Kingdom Queens and just definitely. Our regular pages tomorrow. So please feel free to tap in to see our thoughts on that, because there will be thoughts and lots of words. Some positive, some negative. All right, let's get into training camp. So I think we're at day 8. That doesn't feel right. Day 9?
Man, day 9?
9?
Nine, I think.
Day 9 training camp. And today, for those of y'all not in Kansas City, it's hot here. It's really hot here.
It's really hot.
It's miserable. It's not Texas it's hot, really but hot. It's hot. And it's humid and it's thick. Yuck.
So if that doesn't put these guys in a good mood.
Someone said earlier they think Nick Bolton's not really hurt. He just was hot and didn't want to be out there. And I was like, I hope.
You know what? I thought the same thing about Chris Jones.
Yeah, right. I'm like, you know what? I hope you're right. I hope
get
you're
it.
Right.
Honestly, I would fake an injury to get out of it.
I would too. But we've heard some good news this week, right? So we heard that Tooney is cleared, which is the best news ever. Joe Tooney is cleared to practice and to be out on the field again. So that is some of the best news we have heard this week. Sounds like Jalen is coming off the PUP list and returning back to minimal work, which is amazing news because Jalen Watson is just freaking incredible. So I guess we could start with the positive and then go into the negative. So you got to talk about the injuries because I really didn't see much of it today.
Okay, so I was just like following along with my phone this morning, but there was just all kinds of stuff happening at Chiefs training camp this morning. So the good news was, so Chiefs had a day off yesterday, so they got to rest and recover, all that good stuff. The day before, Hollywood Brown was out with an illness. CEH was out for some mental health stuff, which he's been really open about, which I think is really awesome. Wishing Clyde Edwards there all the best, I want to say. But so they were both out. And then a few other guys were out as well. But we got Chris Jones back today in a limited capacity, which he's had some groin issues, which can be known in training camp as like just kind of wanting out of practice.
That's what we're going to just say. Listen, it is.
So Chris Jones did say in his first presser at training camp, like last at the beginning of whatever, when it started, he said, he's like, I hope Andy Reid will give me off a few days here and there and not get fined for it. So this is kind of my theory, is that maybe that was his way of getting out of a few days of training camp, because he got out Sunday,
the
Monday.
The hottest day so far.
He got out Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday they were off. And then he was back today in limited capacity. So, but I think he's totally fine. We got Joe Tooney back. He was on the PUP list, which is physically unable to perform. Yeah. For those that might not know, he is back, which is absolutely huge for our offensive line. He's our left
just
guard.
Said that. You weren't listening to me at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you said, I don't know.
I know. I wanted you to talk about the injuries that happened today.
I didn't know what happened today. Okay.
Yeah.
So today we had tight end Isaiah Gathings.
Sucks.
Injured his hamstring, which is a bummer.
I hate that. Dang it.
We had Kadarius Toney, who made some big plays today and then injured his ankle, which
Kadarius Toney's actually having a pretty good training camp.
He is. And so that's actually, I mean, well, honestly, I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but that really is a bummer.
No.
Sure. Nick Bolton, I think we talked about it a little bit. He hurt his elbow today on a big play, but it was reported later that they think he's going to be okay. It's pretty minor. I think they were just taking him out.
And last year, his injury was like wrist hand, not
it was basically wrist. Yeah. So this was elbow, different, same arm, but
same lift arm.
But I think he'll be fine. I think, and honestly, like you and I always say, it's like if you don't need to push things in training camp, don't push it for players like that.
Right.
Like we know what you can do, Nick Bolton. We don't need to see you out there.
Absolutely,
it's fine. Offensive tackle Chu Godrick, something with his ankle, and then offensive rookie tackle McCade Mator did something else with his ankle as well. And so we had five guys leave practice
today.
What the
heck? Is there something going on with the grass?
I don't know. And they had like fresh
ankle knee.
I think they had fresh grass today too. So I'm just like, that's.
I wonder if that could be it.
Maybe it's the fresh grass. It wasn't torn in. I don't know. But so not a great day for injuries. My biggest concerns are Kadarius Toney and Nick Bolton, because those are our starters. I think the way Andy Reid opened up his press conference and described it all, he didn't sound overly concerned about anyone.
Yeah.
So, but you can kind of tell when he's like with Justin Reid, he's like, he'll be out for a while or whatever. But like with these guys,
and that was Spags too. Spags just did not sugarcoat that at all.
No, not at all. not at all. So I think we're okay with these ones. Kadarius Toney, he is so good when he's healthy and he's so elusive. When he's focused and healthy, he is. And so I just hope he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Because he's definitely making this team. KT's going to make this team.
He is, yeah.
So that's why I'm glad to see that he's having a good camp. Not only is he having a good camp, it looks like they support him, right? So, you know, a few days back when him and George Karloftis went at it and Travis kind of jumped in like, yo, what the heck? Like, what you're not going to do is this. Because they didn't have pads on yet. That was like refreshing to see that, you know, all right, they're all in still on KT. So you know what? Y'all need to be all in on KT. So that's kind of like what that made me think. And he's had a very positive camp. Like, he's had a lot of great catches, a lot of great runs. Like, he's been able to just be open and he's still fast. Well, so,
and I like that he's kind of willing to do whatever. Like, they're putting him in at running back. They're putting him in at punt return. They're putting him in at kick return. Yeah. They're putting him in kind of wherever on the field to see where he can be. And I like that he actually seems to have a good attitude about all of it.
Well, and he kind of has to, though, right? Because when you look at the receiving room now and you see all of these great guys on this team who weren't here last year.
Yeah.
We need you on this team, but where do we fit you in at? So to be able to fit you in on this team, you got to be able to do everything. And that's not saying that those other guys aren't also learning everything. They are too, right? Like, they're learning all phases of the playbook. But it's good to see, like, that they want to be able to use him. And Kadarius Toney, he did do kick return last season, right? So it's not like he didn't do it last year. He did. But
well, and he had that huge one in the Super Bowl. He had the longest punt return in the Super Bowl. So.
Absolutely. But that just may be his focus this year. So we don't know. We don't know what Andy has up his sleeve.
Yeah,
so.
And I do agree. This guy Manny on Twitter just commented, the Chiefs have all this patience with him. I think it's for a reason. And I think it is because, well, they, not everyone, they'll cut you if they're not happy with you. But, well, that's because of a draft spot pick, I think. I think people know the talent Toney has. And I think we saw it his first season here. Like, we saw him adjust his gloves and then make a catch against the Jaguars.
That was a noon game. I was like,
he's done some crazy stuff where you're like, okay, Toney, like, I see what you can bring, but then he has
and we got it for cheap. So
it's like, I think they're going to gamble on the guys that they gambled on and they're going to give it a few seasons. And they're like, as long as we keep winning, we're going to keep gambling.
Well, but, and to understand the Chiefs is to know that if you're out on that field and you do something wrong, Andy's putting you back out there on the next play, and he's probably going after you. So,
like, y'all saw, y'all
it happens all the time.
Y'all saw in the Super Bowl, Marquez Valdes-Scantling ran back 20 yards on a catch, and the next play, he gets a first down.
Isaiah Pacheco had a fumble, and they went right back to him. So it's like, you know, that's what Andy does. He's going to build your confidence, and maybe that's what makes him this amazing coach. Because me, I cannot be a coach. I told y'all, I could be a general manager. I cannot be a coach. I could be a GM. I could do the money. I could say yes. I could say no. I don't have patience. You mess up, I'm done. No, I'm kidding. So that's the big difference there. And Andy Reid is the most patient.
Andy Reid's one of the best
human ever, right?
One of the best to ever do it. So that's
so. Why. Let's talk about this left tackle battle because it's really getting good. Like every day, it's good. I feel like every morning we're looking on socials to see who's starting at the LT spot, right? And it seems like Kingsley has been taking a lot of those reps here lately, huh?
I'm cracking up at our comments.
The comments are hilarious. Shout out to everybody listening in on YouTube, Twitter, and wherever y'all are coming from, because y'all are hilarious and we love you. And I'm going to also take this moment to say that go subscribe to our YouTube if you have not yet.
And follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We put out so much good content. But this left tackle battle has been very spicy and very good. And Kingsley is dominating.
So like, we all saw things
he has to learn, right? Yeah. But he has been looking good so far.
The upside of Kingsley Suamataia is amazing. He has his flaws, of course. He's a rookie. He's going to learn.
They all do, right?
But I think his upside is super exciting. I think there was a clip going around today where the speed he showed ahead of freaking Xavier Worthy, who's the fastest guy ever in the NFL recorded. Kingsley Suamataia is out there blocking his butt off and for Xavier Worthy.
I didn't even see Xavier in the clip. I'm going to just say that. I didn't even see him in the clip. I seen Kingsley. I was like, oh, my Lord. Look at that boy running. He took off. He took off. And that is so amazing to see. That
it was impressive. And he had a few plays today that were really impressive. There was another, I think, pass breakup by, I'm forgetting who broke up the pass, but it was to Isaiah Pacheco from Patrick Mahomes. One of our defensive backs broke up the pass. I'm forgetting who it was, but Kingsley on that rep too was so good. Like, he's really finally getting it down. It's really exciting to see, because I think a lot of us have been concerned about the left tackle position. So
it's
obviously a big concern, because that's Patrick Mahomes' blind side. We need someone strong in that left tackle. So I still am like, and I'm sure Andy Reid and Brett Veach are this way as well, but I'm still like, if you don't feel confident in either of them, bring back a Donovan Smith, someone like that can do the job.
Like a minimum vet deal.
If you're not confident after preseason, bring someone back.
I think we'll see. I think we'll learn a lot after next Saturday's game.
Yeah.
And I know we'll talk about that next Tuesday going into game day.
Yeah.
But I think because – okay, right? So a lot of these rookies or new guys on the team, they're definitely showing, like, the adjustments in the upside. Someone asked, how is Larice doing, right? How is Zammit doing, LRZ, you know?
Larice, you said. Luis Reese.
Fun fact, he has a brother that also follows us on Instagram. And I didn't realize it. Right, I thought it was – anyway, I'll talk to you about that offline. Everybody's asking, you know, how is he doing and how is he looking?
LRZ. Yeah.
You know, he looks okay.
Yeah.
I'm not nearly as hype about him like I am about Kingsley, right? So I think next week's game is going to talk a lot about where these guys are, how they've done so far in camp, what that playbook is really looking like, how are they in real-time game situations in the NFL.
Do we want to get into a little bit of the special teams slash running back conversation?
Yeah. So
we can skip around a little bit, but.
Well, I think this one, we understand that we're just in a unique situation this year because we are looking for running back three, and that could be LRZ. That could be Denarik Prince. They're trying out Kadarius Toney. So there's a lot of things there that's very interesting. Yeah. I saw Denarik Prince was taking first team reps today with Isaiah Pacheco. So that was great to see because Denarik Prince has been stellar in camp. He has been very good in camp so far.
For those of you that might not have followed along last season as much, Denarik Prince was the training camp darling last year.
Him and ISM?
Well, God, yeah. We can't bring him up. We don't have time to go into that. But Denarik Prince was our running back darling last season, where everyone was like, ooh, this guy's a beast. He's going to be huge. He went undrafted, but we got him on our team. He was working with some past Chiefs players, some really great running back coaches. And there was a lot of promise there. However, it didn't quite showcase in the games in the preseason. No. And I think we put him in like randomly in a few games during the season. It just wasn't.
We had to bring him up because McKinnon was hurt.
Yeah, McKinnon, Clyde,
was banged up.
They all had their bang up issues throughout the year. And so Denarik Prince, he saw a few snaps here and there, and it just didn't quite translate to the field. However, this season we have Pacheco as obviously what
running back one. Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be running back two, but Prince has been getting the running back two in camp, which I think is very interesting. It hasn't been, it's been a little bit of Clyde, but a lot of Prince. And I think that shows what they think.
I think that's for a reason, though. I will say, so if you look at those three guys, CEH has the most burn on his legs, right?
And they
so
know we what they know, get with CEH.
We know what we got in him. We know what he brings. No need to add more miles to that vehicle if you don't have to. So that's why I kind of love Deneric taking a lot of these ones and twos.
Yeah.
The question is going to be is how is he going to perform when we are alive in game? Like, he's so little. Like, he's really good, but he's so little. Like, you got to just be very transparent about the conversation.
I know. Yeah.
If he had another couple of inches on him, he would be a beast. And I think that is where you see in the gameplay where it's like, well, dang it. Like, we see what he's like in camp. We see what he's like going against our guys. But then when you're in that real-time situation and seeing what he does. So, you know, these next 3 weeks of preseason games are going to be very telling because you never know. Someone asked earlier about Crocky J. Our friend Carson Steele, how is he looking? Carson's looking good too, right? Like, he had I was watching him the other day when he was kind of doing like his one-on-ones or one versus one, and I'm not gonna say he got beat, but he definitely was hanging with, you know what I mean? He was holding his own, which is good to see. And we understand that he can come in and play that running back, fullback role. And he's a little bigger than Deneric Prince. So, you know, is there a possibility that you could utilize him? I don't want to see Kadarius Toney at running back. The amount of hits they take in that role, the amount.
No, and I like him. I like Kadarius for like the jet sweep type thing, but not.
And
really
that's it.
Back. Yeah,
because I don't want anything to happen to him to where it would just cause additional injury. And I get that they're testing out all of these different things because they're trying to find the right suit for him. Right. And yeah, I respect that so much. But if we know that he's someone who has injury history, I would hate for him to have to be have that role and it be an important role for him. And then we really lose his life expectancy because of injury or whatever. So I would be cool with Carson Steele. I'm excited. I want to see him in preseason.
That's the thing. I think, honestly, I think the two positions I'm most excited for in training camp are left tackle and running back. I think there's just so much unknown, but I think there's so much potential at both. So you have a ton of potential in Kingsley and Wanye at left tackle. I think Kingsley's going to see most of the first team reps, and then I think you're going to have Wanye. But Andy Reid doesn't sound overly concerned with either of them. So that's a good sign for now. He also probably wouldn't say if he was, but that's beside the point.
The question is if Kingsley takes the number one spot, then Wanye goes to two?
Yeah. But I just don't know if I feel comfortable. I don't know.
I don't. I'm like, I don't. I want a veteran out there protecting Pat. And I'm like, not saying that Kingsley can't do that, but I think he deserves 1 year behind a veteran.
I do too. And I think he would be all the much better for it if he did have that. Yeah. And I think when you're also, it'd be different if we were a team like, I don't even know, like if we were like the Jaguars or something and you're like, you're competitive, but.
I got a question.
Go for it.
So Jawan Taylor knows how to play both sides. So is that maybe the veteran that is teaching him how to play that side because he is known for playing left tackle? Maybe that's the veteran presence he needs.
I've had that thought because originally,
I mean, there's no way it wouldn't be. Jawan looks great. He's lost a little weight. It looks like he understands, and he got his little swag back this year. I feel like he genuinely understands like all of the errors that he had last season and how he needs to fix it going into this season. And he's great at what he does when he's right.
And I think Jawan, we originally brought him on to play left tackle.
Correct.
So I think if we needed him to, I think we could put him over there and maybe put Kingsley at right tackle or something. But still, so, it's like
I don't know. Did he
it's
ever?
It's the rookie thing of it,
right tackle.
Right, I don't know that.
I don't know that history there. So,
but it's the rookie aspect of it all that really gets me because we are. I mean, these players, these teams are going to be out for blood against us from week one, and we start with the Ravens and then the Bengals. And those are two teams that really want to kill us.
Well, the Bengals always lose their first two games, so. No, I'm kidding.
still,
I had a conversation with someone the other day in one of my group chats on X, and Andy Reid played O-line for the first 25 years of his life and has coached it at such a high level since then. And heck, oh God, another comment came in, is amazing. So I trust them the same way I trust Spags and Dave with their date with the DBs. Thank you, D-Mac. I had a conversation the other day in one of my group chats on X, and they were like, man, the AFC West is so bad. It's not fair. You guys always sweep, right? So then I was like, fun fact, have you looked at the Chiefs' schedule the last, let's say, 5 seasons? We literally always play the same teams. We're playing the Bengals. We're playing the Jags. We're playing the Texans and the Ravens every other year. And
you know what's funny?
We appreciate your comment. I was just reading it out loud for the people.
My salmon.
Right, I'm like, no. We appreciate.
No, you know what's funny to me is, like, even on a year that we shouldn't play the Bengals because they finished last, we still have to play them because we play the AFC North.
Correct.
Like, it's just, it's the way our schedule falls is hilarious. Because
every single year. And we always play those one or two. We always play the Niners. They're supposed to be the best team in the NFC. So people are always like, it's not fair. You guys have the easiest division, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, cool. But have you seen the rest of our schedule that we've consistently been playing year after year after year and still been able to go out and win or dominate or lose 6 games and still win a Super Bowl? Anyway, want to get us back on track to talking about training camp. So we've had a few people asking us about Nico Remigio and Montrell Washington, who have both looked pretty good.
Remigio.
Will he make this team? He may look good.
You guys have been in our comments tonight. We are seeing them.
We're seeing them flooding. Will he make this roster? Nico's always great. He's always great in training camp. He was fantastic and stellar last year. He's been very great this year. I'm sure y'all are seeing all of the clips flying around about him being out there being a dog. He's been really great. But will he make the roster?
It's tough, man. So
that receiver
wide receiver battle is nuts this year. There are some givens to me, and I think the givens are about 5 receivers, and that is Rashi Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Mecole Hardman, Justin Watson. I think those are the 5 given. And then you have Kadarius Toney, who will probably make the roster.
Definitely making this roster.
And unless his injury was really bad today and you can place him on some kind of IR thing to start the season and make room for more receivers.
Am I making this up? Did Justin Watson get hurt the other day?
Well, he did. He did too, actually. Yes.
I don't know what his injury was, but I think I briefly heard that he was injured.
Is this also foot or something? Foot or
ankle?
What
is going on with the grass?
Right.
Sorry. Like, it's something in the grass. So, yeah, we know our top. And so I would just say that Watson is a lock and KT is a lock, and that puts you at 6.
Well, and I'm thinking, like, there's been – so I think a lot of the offseason, we were all saying, okay, it's going to be 6 receivers that they're going to take. I've seen a lot of takes lately from some of these experts in Chiefs Kingdom and analysts and what have you that are saying they think it's going to be 7 now.
I don't think
again.
It's going to be 7.
I don't know. But guys like Nico Remigio and Montrell Washington are dogs in this training camp, and they are making huge plays. These standout plays.
Can Montrell transition to a running back?
Nah. No, but he's actually good for, like, special teams.
Yeah, I mean, they both are. Him and Nico.
So, I don't know, man.
I don't think they're taking 7.
I could see it, and I started seeing cases for it, and I'm like, I actually can see certain position groups being altered to fit a 7th receiver once again, and I think it's because they're –
I think they're taking 4 tight ends.
I
I think that too, though. I think they're taking four tight ends, and I think they could take seven receivers.
And I don't think we can go right anywhere on the defense. We had so many guys in and out last season with injuries.
So it's going to be like
our defense was a rotating wheel last season. We cannot go light there either. So then where do you go light at? You just literally only run with two quarterbacks this year?
I think two.
And then you have two, and that's it.
And then I think you have two on the practice squad. Yeah.
And you have your emergency one that can come up.
Yeah. I genuinely
that's where you would have to. Yeah. You just want to.
I genuinely think that's what they might do.
I can't remember right now. Did we run three or four running backs last year?
Three. Jet, Pacheco, and CEH.
Three, right? So you're going to run with three this year.
We had P. Ryan, but he would come off and on the practice squad.
The practice squad, right. So we ran three. And I think we're keeping a fourth tight end this season. So where do you lose that spot to add in a seventh receiver? Right. So I don't know if – I don't think we have the bandwidth to do it. As much as I would love for us to and when you think of it this way too, what happens when you get a Charles Amenihu back and then you have to drop somebody to bring him up? So it's like, where do you...
It's going to be tough, but then, you know, by that point, there might be other injuries and there might be other things that come up that...
Oh, there's not going to be any injuries this season.
In our best world, sure.
For 21 weeks, we're going to be perfect.
We're going to be healthy, yeah. It's just... I guess you just get there when you get there.
Especially if they bring a fullback.
If
they add the fullback position back.
Like I'm glad that we don't have to make decisions on this.
I want to. Somebody hire me on the staff. I'm very good at negotiating and proving my point and the reason why we need to do things that we do. Yeah, no, I don't know. Logistically, I don't think there's a way to have seven.
I don't think you need Washington to answer this question. I think he'll be on the practice squad.
Yeah, I think he'll
be. And I think he's someone that could be called up, and I'd be like, okay, I'm good with him being called up if he needs to be.
Unfortunately, I kind of feel that way about Nico.
Honestly, that might be what it is.
And that's okay. We'll call you when we need you.
Do you? Okay. So Sky Moore is an interesting one to me.
Get him off
this. It's his third season. He struggled a little bit in camp early on.
Yes.
However, when the pads came on, he's looked a lot better. He's made, even today, he had some catches that I was like, okay.
Sky Moore can catch the ball. I don't think that last year was an anomaly.
It's the route running.
And it's the understanding of the playbook. He struggled to understand the playbook. So if you're limiting yourself to only a few things that you know, how do you expand what you can do on this team if you can't understand the playbook? Like, you got to get the fundamentals down first. If you can't do that, we can't depend on you to do additional things. And it looks like in camp that it's starting to click for him finally. It took three seasons, but it looks like maybe the playbook is starting to click. So he's being able to be more confident than thinking about, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Because last year it looks like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing?
When he's making plays on Trent McDuffie, I'm like.
But is Trent taking him seriously?
I don't know.
Girl, I don't think so.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling with Sky Moore.
And it's just training camp. I think that's something else we got to remember. Like, looking amazing in training camp.
Everyone, though. Like,
everybody looks great in camp. Well, I ain't going to say that. 90% of them look great in camp. What are you doing on film during the game? That's why I say I cannot wait until next Saturday.
I cannot wait.
Because Sky Moore will be out there playing. Kadarius Toney will be out there playing. You know what? Most of these receivers are going to be out there because, half of these guys are new and they are still learning the playbook.
Yeah.
Two, and, you know, I'm totally fine with Carson Wentz throwing them the ball because Carson Wentz looks great. And that's going to be the best match to a Patrick Mahomes. So I kind of love that a lot, actually.
Love it. Yeah.
But these receivers are going to be out there because they got to figure out this room and who's going to make it or not. And you never know. After three games and they all look good, you might have to keep that seventh. There could be reasons to why they figure out a way to keep seven. I just don't logistically think it's realistic. That's all.
I don't either, but
I can't wait.
We're going to find out a lot in preseason. I cannot wait for preseason.
You know what? And if somebody gets cut and something happens and we got to go get a guy, we're going to be able to go get a guy. Or if we got to elevate a guy, we're going to have depth on our practice squad.
And I will say, I feel...
The thing is hopefully they don't get picked up off of waivers.
That's my biggest fear. That's what we got to worry about. That's my least favorite thing about practice squad is that they can get picked up and picked off. And I think if you put a guy like Sky Moore on practice squad, he'll get picked off of it pretty quick.
I agree. Because and Nico. I think Nico might get picked up off of waivers this year. I'm surprised he didn't last year, actually.
Yeah, and he's been on punt returns, kick returns, all that good stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I can't wait to see what they do on special teams and just everything. And then just real quick shout out to Jared Wiley has been doing really, really well in the tight end room as a rookie. Like he's
having a really good camp.
Unbelievable.
You know, I was listening to a debate. the other day, and I'm not taking this seriously. I was just listening and I kind of chuckled like, that's a very early prediction. We're like day seven of training camp. You should calm down. But they're saying, you know, could he possibly take Noah Gray's spot?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, let me watch a couple games first before I go to that mile because I know what Noah Gray is and what Noah Gray can do. So let me watch a couple of games first before we go there. But I'm okay with having all three of them and being able to do a 13 personnel and get this season rocking with all these big dudes. Like, yes.
And just sign
up for that.
Shout out to Travis Kelce for just picking up always right where he leaves off and looks phenomenal. He doesn't age.
This season feels different. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's in love. I don't know. This season feels different. He looks lighter. He looks, I'm not going to say like happier, but like you see him putting in the extra work every single practice after practice. And it's like, first of all, the 15 to 87 connection ain't going nowhere. Like, that's
never.
Bread and butter, that's bread and butter.
Yeah, that's your bread and butter.
It just feels so different this year. Like, I think this is going to be one of Travis's best seasons yet this year. And I don't know why. I'm still trying to put those pieces together in my brain, but it just feels totally different this year. So I'm like, okay.
No, I agree. And someone said, like, maybe it is because he does have that, like, now granted he's dating one of the biggest pop stars in the world, right? So he's seeing her go and do her thing in front of millions of people every week. That would be motivation for me to be like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to go out and go do my job and be like.
Well, and there's way more eyes on you than there's ever been in your 11 years on the Chiefs. So, hi, fun like, fact.
What's crazy is he's always had eyes on him and he's always been incredible. Right. And but now it's like even more than
all
ever.
You new
and
football so, people, welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. It's so great to have you here. We've been doing this for a long time. He's been great.
Enjoy what you're seeing because it is.
If you want to see something funny, go watch Travis year 1 through 5. Go do that. Go do that.
Please.
See how he's grown up before our eyes. I'm excited for that.
No,
I don't think I have anything else to talk about. I mean, there's a lot that I can talk about. I'm just hungry.
I know. One more thing I want to talk about, the last thing I want to touch on before we get off here, is the cornerback battle. And what Steve Spagnuolo said in his press conference the other day was that he's still, and now, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So Steve said he's still waiting on that guy to be like, I'm him. I'm that one that's going to be your replacement. Not technically your replacement for L'Jarius Sneed, because that's a really hard person to replace, but the guy that's going to be stepping into that spot. And he. Yeah. Hasn't quite had that yet, which
I think it's because he's waiting on Jalen Watson to get back.
Kind of, and he now is back too. So, I think we're about to see. Now, I do want to touch on what you and I saw those first few days we were at camp was Joshua Williams had outstanding camps.
Hi, Joshua. Oh, my God.
However, we love you, Joshua. But for some reason, he hasn't been with the ones as much. And now Kelvin Joseph is.
But I think that also kind of goes to CEH, right? We know what Joshua Williams can do for this team. We know the work that he can put in for this team. And I think, to be fair, right, if you're going to host the camp, you got to see what all 90 or 100 of your guys can do. So even though where we would love to see a lot of these people we know who are really great at their jobs keep that one spot, you got to rotate those guys in to see what ability they can even give us. So just because we're not seeing Joshua out there with the ones right now and playing with the twos, I mean, the twos, let's be for real. The twos on this team are pretty elite all around the board. Running back, receiver, corners. Yeah. Safeties, our twos are really freaking good on this team. So
they're very good. Very, very good.
It's not necessarily a knock, but you know, that iron sharpens iron mentality is real on this Chiefs team. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's like, all right, Kelvin, get out here, show us what you can do. Let's coach you up. You know what I mean? And I think that's the best way to get there.
I said back in March, when we signed Kelvin Joseph, that he would be someone to watch in training camp. And I had people laugh at me. And I just want to say, look at you now.
Well, you know, people don't listen. So there's that. But I do think that, I think that J-Watt being back, so funny. We have two J-Watts.
I know. I love the J-Watt duo.
The defensive one. Okay.
Do you remember when, I think it was 2 years ago, when they both of them owned the Chargers in the same game?
Yes.
And it was like J-Watt times two, and I loved it so much. Anyway, that was just random memory.
No, it's fine. But I think with him being back, a lot of guys kind of like know that like he might be the guy. Like, I'm him, right?
Yeah.
And I think that now we're getting ready to see this battle kick it up to a level that we haven't seen yet. And again, there's still so many weeks of training camp left. So there's still a lot out there to digest. So,
it's exciting.
Sign me up. I don't know which battle I'm more excited for, left tackle or corner.
God. Or wide receiver or running back.
I at least know the wide receivers room. I'm not stressed as much about them.
No. I think
running back, God, we do need to figure out that spot. And is it, do you go get someone? Do you run with what you got? Man. I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up somebody midway. Here, take a seventh and give us this person. Thanks.
Still, I mean, there's still like Dalvin Cook is still out there.
Which is wild. He must want a lot of money. And we're not paying that. We have $7. I can't make that any more clear. And we're not paying you. We got to pay Creed and everybody else. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's pretty much our recap for everything in training camp, NFL wise. There was a lot to discuss.
Yeah. Good day.
Yeah. But exciting news, we have an NFL game tomorrow night, which is the Hall of Fame game, which is the Texans versus the Bears.
You know, I'm really excited to see the Texans. Now, let's be transparent. Nobody's starting their ones. Fine.
No.
Caleb Williams should play.
And he's not.
He should.
He's not.
Right. Like, I get it. He should. He ain't.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what these teams look like.
Yeah.
I'm just ready. Get us to next week already so we can see these preseason games.
So tomorrow we have Hall of Fame game. Next weekend, we have NFL football. I think we have a Thursday night game next week, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, too.
I don't remember who it is, but.
Sign me up.
I'm excited. We're finally back. I'm so happy. Just so excited. So, 36 days, like I said, till NFL kickoff, which is basically.
God bless. Tomorrow.
So, that's.
I'm not ready. I don't have my home opener outfit or anything.
Anyway, we got work to do.
We got work to do. All right. Well, shout out to the sponsor, Ken Seltzer. Sorry, Josh, that we had to push our meeting today. We promised to make it up with you. Okay. Shout out to the sponsor, Ken Seltzer.
There you go.
best seltzer in Kansas City, guys. 100 calories a can, made with all fruit, no artificial sugars. I already said 100 calories a can. It's actually really perfect for like days like today where it's 100 and you want something cool and refreshing.
It's light.
Yeah, it's only like 4% alcohol too. So like, so good.
It's really, really good as a mixer.
Yeah.
Really good for your tailgates. All that.
We love that. So shout out to them.
And it's brewed here right in Kansas City. So.
And a whole bunch of locations. So can't wait to have that at the tailgates because it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
And then, oh, I guess I wrap us up too, huh? Shout out to everybody for tapping in with us today. Over 1,000 listeners from all over every platform. So we're super grateful for y'all. Again, if you have not subscribed to us yet on YouTube, please go press the little cute button that says subscribe. That would make us very, very happy. Make sure you're also listening to us on Spotify and Apple. Those numbers have been jumping. So we are grateful for you guys for going back and listening to us talk football with y'all. And then lastly, make sure you're following us on Twitter, X, YouTube. Instagram. That's what I meant to say. And that you're following both me and Lexi at Lexi Osborne at It's Jody Newsom. So thanks for hanging out with us. We will see y'all next Tuesday. Cannot wait to see this top 100, top 10 list and watch a little football tomorrow night. So bye, y'all. Have a good night. Be safe. Eat something delicious.
Bye. Love y'all. Bye.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.